Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Let's do something. Go ahead and go to your Bible, go to Psalm 42 and hold your place there in Psalm 42. I broached a subject last time I was sharing with you guys when we were sharing about our mission trips in terms of the idea of discouragement, the importance of encouragement in our lives, because if not, we can fall through and become frustrated. And obviously, today as I'm prepping for my message, I start, you know, the day before, read all through the scriptures and then put it together following day. So I'm working through that today and the news comes out and everything. And it was just such an overwhelming thought that God is at work in our lives, guiding us to work in our lives so we don't fall prey of discouragement. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm just going to breaking free from discouragement. I don't think people understand how this things wiggle into our lives in a way that before you know it, you find yourself absolutely frustrated and disconnected from the things of God in your life because of discouragement. Discouragement can come right at you in a way that you don't even see it. I'm not going to tell you probably anything you've ever heard before. But for some reason, I think we need to be reminded of certain things in our lives so that we can come back to what God wants us to do. Are you with me tonight? There's a man in the Bible named Elijah, and this man is probably the greatest prophet. Samuel was enormous, but Elijah was actually at the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah was the spirit that people said that was in John the Baptist out of the same spirit. So this man is incredible. This man is doing amazing things. So if you know the story, it's found in 1 Kings chapter 18 and then chapter 19. And so he tells the prophets of Baal, which is the god, He tells them, hey, if your God is bigger than my God, the God, Jehovah, if he is, then let's go ahead and put it to the test. So he challenged them to a duel. And these guys go at it. If you read it, they cut themselves trying to get this God, Baal, to make fire come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice. Well, obviously, it doesn't happen. And so Elijah said, all right, here's what we're going to do. Now we're going to test my God. And so if you know the story, Elijah said, hey, go ahead and put the sacrifice, put wood. I want you to drench it with water. There was water everywhere. So meaning make it as difficult as possible. So the Bible says Elijah prays and fire comes down and consumes everything, the sacrifice, the wood, the water, everything's gone. So he wins. He wins, and the Bible records that he had to kill them. So he literally killed 450 false prophets. You would think that's a victory. Our God was proving to be the God above everyone else on earth. Yet in that moment, something happens to Elijah. The king, Ahab, was just a really wicked guy. His wife was even worse, is the famous Jezebel. So he tells his wife, Elijah does this to our prophets, to your prophet, because she was kind of in charge of it. And she said, don't worry about it. By the end of the day or by the end of the week, he'll be dead. So she sends words, and these words get to Elijah. This is how discouragement works. You get the greatest victory, and all of a sudden you get a word that doesn't match with what God is doing in your life, but you rather listen to the negativity than listen to what God is actually doing in your life. And God is leading you to say, no, I need you to stay with me. But Elijah became frustrated. Here's why. Because a lot of times, like it would happen to you, we put ourselves out there to get a victory. We step out in faith and we think that something's gonna happen in the way we view it. That was kind of our case we went through. We thought, man, after COVID, people are struggling. Pastor Dan led us in a very valiant way and said, hey, we're gonna open the doors of the church. We thought this place is gonna be full of people looking for God. We opened the doors and it was very dim. You think, man, we put ourselves out there in faith. We thought people were going to come at it. Did we hear wrong from God? No, I believe we heard right from God. I believe our pastors heard right from God. I believe we did the right thing. But a lot of times, just because you heard from God and you do the right thing doesn't mean it turns out the way you think. And the enemy uses that moment to bring a level of discouragement that can drive you away from the things of God and from what God actually wants to do with you. That is the case of Elijah. He put himself out there in frustration. How many of us have put ourselves out there? You know, we want to go ahead and have a nice date with our wife or husband, and so it's going to be great. And before you know it, you guys are arguing by the end of the day, and the date turns sour. Don't worry, honey. I'm not saying anything. We drove in separate cars. And so, you know, before you know it, something's going wrong, and so you're frustrated. How about this one? You are waiting for a job bonus, and so the bonus comes in, and that same day, the check engine light comes on. Can you say amen? Check engine light knows when you get paid. Right? So these situations come at us. You picture in a certain way, but then it doesn't turn out the way you want, and discouragement comes upon you. Well, that's Elijah. You have this amazing man. He did something so incredible. He proved to everyone that God, Jehovah, is the God. Yet all he hears is, they're going to kill me. The Bible says that he took off. He took off. He said, forget this. I'm out of here. Right? Because he thinks, well, if I prove to everybody that God is the real God, people are going to come run and ask me to show them where God is. That's not what happened. People got angry. And he was persecuted. And so we find Elijah in this condition. 1 Kings 19:4, I'll read it for you, and then we'll go to Psalms. 1 Kings 19:4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. That's a serious depression, my friends. That's serious frustration there. And said, it is enough. I'm done with this. You can ask any pastor, we've all prayed certain parts of this prayer at some point in our lives. It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. You would think this man that's so great, so amazing, would never go through a situation like that, but that is what discouragement does. And this is why God wants us to get that today, so we don't let discouragement derail us into the things from the things of God in any way. As a matter of fact, discouragement, I mentioned this last time I was with you, discouragement is the enemy's way to distort God's vision for your life. Discouragement is a way that makes God's vision doesn't seem like it's what God wants for you. It's almost like it makes your windshield, your glasses dirty. You're looking forward, but you can't see clear. And that's what happens. You love your spouse, but the discouragement in your marriage can't let you see through all the other stuff. You love your children, but sometimes you're focused on all the negative things they do. Because you're discouraged. Things are not turning out the way you think. You love your job, but you're not getting paid the way you want it, or things are not happening. So the discouragement blares something you actually love to do. And this is why discouragement, the enemy uses it in such a way to destroy us. As a matter of fact, I want you to get this into your heart, into your mind. Discouragement is a sign that you're being challenged, but not that you're defeated. That's so important. I'll repeat it, because I kind of just, when I heard that in my soul, I was like, discouragement is a sign that you're being challenged, but not that you're being defeated. And what happens is we become discouraged and we feel that we are actually defeated. And God's saying, no. You're in front of a problem, but you're not done yet in any way possible if I'm with you. You're not done yet. And this is so crucial for us to consume that and say, God, you know what? I'm going to change however I'm feeling in the moment. And the psalmist in Psalm 42, write these two psalms, Psalms 42 and 43. The whole section kind of talks about this idea of how to talk to our soul and how to express who we are and how we feel. And it's an amazing teaching. But I'm going to focus mainly on Psalm 42 and a portion of Psalm 43. Let's go there if you have your Bible. Psalms 42. And we'll read it. Psalm 42 says this. Very famous. All these verses. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. So the deer is thirsty. He's looking for water. He's saying, as the deer is looking for water, that's how I feel. I feel thirsty, Lord. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but I know I've been there in my walk with Christ. I've been in the church since I was 4 years old. I've been a Christian for 40 plus years when I felt like I really gave my heart to the Lord. And so, trust me, there are moments where you're high, and there's moments where you're low. And the psalmist is in a low point, but he's expressing his desire for God. Verse number 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let me remind you what I've reminded you so many times before. If you feel down and low, do not run from the Lord. What we do is we go away. And this was the problem with Elijah. He went into the desert, even though he knows God is everywhere. He felt, I'm going to get away from everything. And trust me, I've done it. We've all done it. We just want to get away from stuff. And for a moment, it's fine, but not so you wallow in desperation. It's so important to break through. So here's what happened. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. What a description. While they continually say to me, where is your God? If you saw the news today, that phrase is absolutely chilling. If you didn't see the news, this young man, woman, whatever that may be, he wrote in his gun magazine certain expression, and one of them was exactly that. In a magazine full of bullets, he wrote, where is your God? What a crazy expression. When I read the news today and I thought to myself, God, I'm about to read this verse. It's not the first time, guys. Don't be shocked about what you're seeing. It is exactly what our pastor said. It is darkness against light. It is the devil after the soul of man, but Jesus already died for their souls, and we have to get the word out so people come to know the saving knowledge of Christ. And that's the chill. I mean, the psalmist is writing the exact phrase. The psalmist is saying, people are telling me because I'm down and out, where is your God? And that may be said to you at some point in your life where you feel, I'm down and out. I'm discouraged. And the psalmist said, that's what they told me. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Another version said, I pour my soul internally. And if I remember from the Breaking Free classes, that's part of depression. You turn your anger, your frustration inward. And it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within. For I used to go with the multitude. Now, he's describing his life. Look at his life. I used to go with the multitude. And we went into the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. He's saying, man, I remember when I would go to church and we had a party at church. That was great. And this is why God's saying, I want you to break free from discouragement. The description of the psalmist, I love it. I love when I find a book in the Bible that is so honest. So honest. Here's why. We're a church of faith, and we'll continue to be a church of faith. But a lot of times what we say is, ignore what's in you because you need faith. And the psalmist is saying, no, I'm telling you, I'm pretty depressed. But I'm not going to stay there. God is up to something. I'm going to remember some good things. I'm going to do some important things. I'm not going to ignore that. It's so profound. Verse 5, why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? I love an article I read on this particular verse says that some people interpret it not as he's questioning God, but he's actually pumping himself up. Like, come on, man, get up. Don't feel that way. Let's do this. What a turn, what a change of event is happening. He's changing his mind, saying, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God, and I shall praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. There are four things I see that this psalmist does that's gonna teach you something. They're so basic, and I think we forget a lot of times. So how do I break free from discouragement in my life? Number one, very simple and very important, you have to pray. You have to pray. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the news say. Again, if you haven't seen the news, you don't have to watch the news. I don't know why I watch the news, but you know, I like watching news. And finishing my preparation, I watch the news, and the highest authority of the city, which is the mayor, the first words out of his mouth is, we don't need your prayers. Those kids were already praying, and they got shut up while praying. What is happening? And this is exactly, the enemy is amplifying this. It's amplifying these voices saying, don't pray. But prayer is so crucial. And I want you to know, when you're discouraged, hear me out. Prayer puts words to your discouragement. When you hear and when you say it, it changes. I know I've been praying, and if I pray negative, I'm like, oh man, what in the world am I saying? I immediately change. When I hear myself, when it comes out of my mouth, then all of a sudden I have to change it. And this is why prayer is so powerful. This is why prayer, communicating with God, is so important. We're moving heaven and earth. We're spiritual people. Even if you don't feel like it, you have to get in there and you have to communicate with God. Even if you have to write it, you have to communicate with God. Whatever you have to do, you must pray. You must pray. You must pray. You must express what is happening inside of you. And this is why the psalmist says, I turn myself inward. If I just stay in my head and in my soul, I don't vocalize my pain. You have to vocalize it, not to everybody. And we'll talk about having friends that you can talk to, but first and foremost, you have to let God know. You say, Pastor, you already know. I know. But when you hear yourself say it, it changes everything. I don't know what it is about praying out loud. It changes absolutely everything. It is so important. I pray in my head. I pray quiet. I write. But man, when I say it, I'm like, yeah, I got to say it different. Yeah, something rises within you when you're saying it. It changes. And if you need help, Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit who helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So you don't know how to pray. Look what happens by the Spirit. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning, which we cannot be uttered. Saying there's sometimes that it's just in there, you know. And the Spirit said, I got you. I can let the Father know what's happening in there. But you got to talk. You got to let it out. You got to put it out there in your heart. Not just out of showish things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, you can read it later. When Jesus is talking about prayer, he actually says, don't pray like the Gentiles. Don't pray like the Gentiles. That they use a lot of words. See, we want to sound fancy, but we don't want to sound honest. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be honest. Cut the fancy. So important. This is one of my favorite hymns are, you know, songs that have been written for many years. And this is one of my favorite stories. I've shared it before with you guys, but I just love it so much. It's the story of Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven was the writer of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And his story is so profound. If you never sang the hymn as a kid or heard it in church, and you can look it up online. It's a beautiful hymn, but before it was a hymn, it was actually a poem. And Joseph Scriven was actually in Canada when his fiancée, I believe, was coming from England or whatever by boat in the 1800s. And so when she was coming, the boat sank and she died. So he was in tremendous pain for obviously losing the love of his life. And so his mom was also going through some depressive times, and they were just in a hard time in the 1800s. So this is a letter he actually wrote to his mom in his own sadness of soul. He writes to his mom this poem to encourage her. To encourage her. And this was a private letter that eventually became public and eventually became a hymn. And these are some of the words. I'll just read you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I like the last line. It says this. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a faithful friend who will bear our sorrows like him we share? So what a beautiful thing. He's saying, listen, I am a friend. What a friend I have in Jesus. All that matters is, am I gonna write it out? Am I gonna pray to him? Am I gonna bring it to him? As a matter of fact, his story is very interesting because he eventually gets married and also his wife dies later on. So he lived a very hard life, but if you read his story, he never deviated from loving Christ. Even in the tough times of life, I don't know what is it about this fact of Christianity, but it is, I believe our pastor preached, that if we bear the marks of Christ, if we bear in his pain, we will also rejoice in his resurrection. When we, you know, crucify the sin, we can also enjoy the goodness of God in everything in our lives. So, if you're going through a hard time right now, I want you to do something. Pray. Bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to bring it to you because you have the answers. You have the solution. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. Find freedom from discouragement by doing a second thing. It's worship. And I'm surprised that so many people, maybe because some people don't like music in a certain way or don't like contemporary, whatever it may be, or, you know, I love the preaching, so I don't want to participate in the worship in church, or I like a certain style. I understand all that. But I want to tell you something. Worship changes the spiritual climate, and it puts God in the focus of our problem. And this is so important because worship is about changing the spiritual climate in your home, in your car, in your life, in the church. We don't start with worship because it's the best way to order the service. We start with worship because it breaks a spiritual atmosphere, because it organizes things in the spirit that's amazing. There are people being healed during worship. There are people being restored during worship. There are people receiving words during worship. And it's so important for us to know that, that when we do that, when we sing to the Lord, something happens in our soul. And this is why music is so crucial. And for those who grew up as Christian youth in the 80s and some parts of the 90s, there was a big argument about this thing. You know, whether we brought electric guitars into the church, and so do we do these things because it was a big deal, and Lucifer knew about the worship in heaven. And so there's always this battle, and this is why we say sometimes secular music is very important what you listen to, because it affects the spirit of what you hear in it, what you hear in it. And the excuse is always, "Pastor, the beat is so cool." I am telling you, eventually you're going to listen to what that's saying. You're going to listen to it. And it's so crucial. I always tell, our friends in our congregation in Spanish ministry, you know, if you listen to your corridos talking about how your wife cheated on you, you're going to be mad at your lady even though she hasn't done anything. You know, if you're always listening about getting drunk and drinking cerveza and beer, right, like, you're going to go there someday. And so it's so important for us to know that these things influence, they affect the spiritual atmosphere what we do. And so it is very, very crucial that we know how these things come and affect our spirit, because this is why so many hymns have been written through challenging situations, because they change how we think. Amazing Grace, it was the restoration of this man who did something so horrible for so many years as a slave trader, finds God and says, "I am wicked, but thank you, Lord, for saving me." Yeah. Wow. And we all sing it so powerfully. We receive it. Psalms 42:4 in the New Living Translation says that my heart is breaking. I remember how it used to be. How many of us have said that before? Man, I remember how those times. I remember the old times. I remember how it used to be. Now look at this. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading the great procession to the house of God. He's saying, I was at the front. I was the tambourine guy. I was bringing everybody in for the party in church. We were having fun. We were celebrating. Now, look at this. Singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Sounds like this church, right? Like we just had a great celebration. I love this because songs and thanksgiving go hand in hand. It is very hard to give thanks and stay mad. And stay frustrated. And stay, frustrated in each way. It is always glad. You always say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." It's so important for us to believe God in some ways. I was at a pastor's meeting on Monday, Latino pastor's meeting in the Inland Empire. And so when I was in this meeting, they were celebrating, I think, 11 years since they started working as a Latino pastors of the area. I know some of them. I don't know all of them. So they invited me. I said, "Hey, let's go. I'll spend time with you guys, celebrate with you guys something you've done. It's beautiful." They invited this guest speaker, older pastor, already in his 70s. And so he was joyful. He was so much fun. He's actually, some of these pastors are related to our Pastor Joseph, the Puerto Rican crowd there. And so these guys are having fun. I'm Dominican, so we're like, I'm with my people right now. And so we're having fun. He's sharing. And then you would never think. And then he hits this one verse, and then he says, "I'm going to tell you why I sing and I'm joyful and I'm always celebrating." And then he tells a story that his son got electrocuted fixing something in his church on the stage or in the attic right across the stage. They have a smaller church in Fontana, I believe. And then he says the following, he says, "I preach every Sunday in the tomb of my son." And then he says, "But I still keep my joy and I'm believing God is up to something good." Man, that guy, I mean, yeah, I clap for the Lord because he deserves so good. I was sitting there thinking, wow. I called my wife right at the end of the meeting. I said, "Honey, this guy's racked me. This guy gave me a different perspective. He's not my style of preaching. He's older than me. He's different. But the depth of character of Christ through difficult things, it's what forms you and it's what forms me. It is so important. And I know a lot of times you might feel, "Pastor, I just want to hear, the Lord's going to make a rain from heaven and bring cash into my account." Yeah, he helps. But the reality is that there's such a beauty in the depth of knowing Christ in difficult situations. And worship helps me do that. Look at Psalm 43, 3 and 4, right next to it. New Living Translation. Send out your light, says the psalmist, and your truth, and let them guide me. So your word, which is light, which is truth, let it guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. Now verse 4, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. And I will praise you with a harp, oh God, my God. You know what he said? When I'm down and out, I'm gonna run to the house of God and I'm gonna worship my God, because he's the source of my joy. He's the one who's gonna get me out of this. He's the one who's gonna change my circumstances. He's the one. And that's why worship is so powerful and important to transform us in each way. Here's number 3. You have energy for a couple more real quick? I'm gonna preach it anyway, so thank you. To find freedom from discouragements, here's this third one that's very important. Find God and get faith-filled friends. Faith-filled friends are very important, because faith-filled friends are gonna help you when you're down and out. In the process, that is so crucial. I remember every time Pastor tells a testimony, he said when he was diagnosed with his blood cancer, he said, everyone would come and tell me, I know somebody who died from that. I was like, how are you encouraging me in any way? Sometimes we try to encourage somebody with the wrong information. And so you gotta find faithful friends who are gonna believe with you, are gonna tell you, hey man, I get it, it's difficult, we're not gonna lie about it, but we're gonna be with you, we're gonna pray with you, we're gonna walk with you. It's so important. If you don't find those faithful friends, then life becomes even difficult. Faithful friends, listen to this, help you carry the load. Faithful friends help you carry the load. When you find that, you want to grab it, you want to gravitate towards it, you want to send them a text, you want to get a call, you want to pray for each other. Something important happens in the process of finding faithful friends. This is why we always say, when you come to church, not just visit the church, serve in some ways. Those serve teams, man, in every area, the ushers, security, youth, children, they form groups, they pray for each other, they text each other. It's not just serving, they're forming a family. So if you come and disconnect, you're not gonna find that family. I'm inviting you, find somebody in church with faith that will pray with you and walk with you. It is so crucial that we do that. I have friends from my youth group days who still walk with me, who still pray with me if I need it. We've been together for many years. I found new ones here in this church, and it's so important, because when we find ourselves in that place, we're broken down. As a matter of fact, it was so interesting reading the word discouragement in Hebrew. One of the meanings is broken down. When you're discouraged, you are broken down. And in that frustration, it's hard for you to find how to raise your spirit. So you need that kind of friend. I read this story, happens a few years ago. I remember exactly, it was a few years ago. UCLA was playing, I believe, Baylor University. I don't remember where they're playing. It was Baylor? Oregon. They were playing Oregon. And so they were playing basketball. And so the tall guy, the center, that his name is Brown, last name is Brown. I believe both of these boys are in the NBA now. They're great players. And so the young guy, the shorter guy, the point guard, his name is Jalen Hand, if I'm not mistaken, or Hands. And so what happens is that Jalen comes down, gives a pass to Brown at the key, which is the top of, you know, of the where they shoot the free throw. So he's there, he receives the ball, and normally it's either a pick and roll, so he'll go down and score the big guy, or he'll pass it back out, which is what Jalen did. He went to the three-point line, but Brown turned around and saw another guy open, thought he was open, and when he passed it, he panicked and passed it between two players, and it went out of bounds. Right when they need to score, it's 2 minutes. This is, I believe, right into their main, I don't know if it was March Madness, but leading up to that. And so he needs the points, they need to win the game. And it's something amazing happens. Brown starts walking down the court frustrated because he messed up. And Jalen comes from behind him and goes, keep your chin up, and pat him on the butt. And they went out. I believe they won the game. And it went viral. You can look for the video everywhere. Where Jalen comes, hey, keep your chin up, let's go. And it was such a beautiful, I mean, everybody was like, you need friends like that. Friends that when you messed up, somebody's gonna come up and say, man, keep your chin up. We're gonna figure this out. We're gonna win the game. We're gonna do something else tomorrow. Keep your chin up. Because otherwise, Brown could have gotten so frustrated and taken himself out of the game mentally. Yet that little action kept him in the game, kept him going, and they figure it out. And this is so important, because all of us, at some point, we're gonna mess up in the game of life. At some point, you're gonna give a bad pass. And it's so crucial that you find friends that tell me, man, I did a bad pass. And friend's going to come along and said, keep your chin up. We're going to fix this. I'm going to walk you through this. We're going to walk it together. Pastor Dan shared this verse. I love it when Pastor Dan studies and then lends me the verse so I don't have to study his heart. I love it. 2 Corinthians 7:5-7 says this, says, when we arrived, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction. Now watch this, with battles on the outside, which we've all been through that, whether that is a flat tire, a difficult boss, or a problem with children, or spouses, or a neighbor, whatever it may be, problems from the outside. Now watch this, and fear on the inside. And we've all been there. Where nothing may be on the outside, but on the inside, I don't know how I'm gonna pay this, I don't know how I'm gonna do this, I have a bad health report, fear's on the inside. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. Verses. But God. Can you say those two words with me? 1, 2, 3. But God. He said, I'm going to tell you something. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged. Who is the encourager? God. First and foremost, those who are discouraged, encourage us by the arrival of Titus. Paul says, God, who is the encourager of everybody, send me a friend who brought encouragement. Wow. Wow. Verse 7. His presence was joy. You got to be a friend like that. I hope Paul doesn't write, he sent Titus and I got even more depressed. Right? His presence was not joy. No, he says his presence was joy. But so was the news that he brought of the encouragement he received from you. Are you seeing what's happening here? It's not only that you are a faithful friend. It's not only that you're a joyful friend. It's that you're a friend that brings good news in a moment when something's down. Wow. Encouragement he received from you when he told us how much you long to see us and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me. I was filled with joy. We all need good news, my friend. We all need good news. And I'm going to tell you something. I've shared this right now, right? I shared earlier that even though we watch news, the news business is not out to tell the good. Because in our current society, good does not sell for whatever reason. So when you only consume evil and bad and frustration, you think everything is horrible and the world's going to hell. And God is saying, I have a redemption plan. I'm doing something good. God is at work. God is at work. And it's so crazy because those were the words that he told Elijah. Elijah said, God, I am the only one. God said, no, you're not. Chill out. There are 7,000 others that haven't bent the knee to evil. Imagine that. But in a moment of frustration, you think it's only happening to me when it is not. Why? Because discouragement is the enemy's way to distort God's vision for your life. Here's my last one for tonight. Refocus on God's purpose. One of the greatest things when you get out of discouragement, in order to find a solid encouragement, you have to go back to what is the purpose that God has for your life. If you can refocus on that purpose, then you can endure whatever come your way. If you can refocus on that, then you can understand God is up to something good. It is so important to refocus on the purpose of God for your life. My wife and I have had to do it many times in our marriage. We're going to refocus. Many times in raising our children, we're going to refocus. Many times in many ways, what is the focus God has for you? You have to refocus because you're going to find things in your life that will trip you up and that are frustrating. And this is what the psalmist says in Psalm 42:11. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Now watch this. I will put my hope in God. He says, I'm not putting in anything else. Not in the stock market. Not if they change the interest rate. Not if I get a raise or an advancement. Not if even I get a clean bill of health. Do I want it? And I'm working for it. I'm going to put my hope in God. He's going to figure it out, and he's going to help me through it. I will praise him again. I will praise him again. I will praise him again. I feel like repeating that. I will praise him again. You got to say that to yourself. I don't know where you find yourself, but you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm going to praise God. Whatever that is, that's not going to win. I'm going to praise God. I will praise him again in whatever situation I'm in. my Savior and my God. Why? Because discouragement is a sign that you are being challenged, but it's not that you're being defeated. God is at work. So when you pray, when you worship, when you get around friends, when you refocus in what God wants for you, you will absolutely break free of whatever is holding you down in discouragement this day. Can we pray together right where you're at? Right where you're at. If you find yourself frustrated and discouragement for whatever situation, maybe there's something here. You said, Pastor, I've prayed, but I'm not connecting with. Maybe God is saying, hey, it's time to worship. It's time to change what you're hearing and what you're singing out of your soul. How about this? You are praying to me, but you're doing it alone. Go ahead and locate a friend. Maybe he'll show you a name, a person that you haven't contacted that's been a good friend to you, that brings you joy. This person brings me joy. Maybe that's what God wants. Maybe you have these things, but you don't know why. And you need a new purpose, or you need to refocus on the purpose God originally gave you and wants you to walk through. I'll give you a few seconds. Just ask the Lord. He doesn't take long to speak. Just ask him, Lord. Father God, we'll say what you say, that you have good plans for us to give us a future and a hope. Lord, we receive that word tonight. Lord God, we say what the psalmists say, that even though my soul might be in a difficult situation, I will put my hope in God and I will praise him, for he's my God and my Savior. And for all of us here and those who are watching online, Lord, that you would encourage us to once again turn our face towards you and not towards our problem and get a hold of you in every area of our lives so that we may break free from the discouragement that has come upon us in our families, Lord God. May the joy of the Lord be our strength once again in every area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I hope God spoke to you. You've got to praise tonight. Give me 5 more minutes of your time. I want to make sure that you are all right with God. You may say, Pastor, you know, I already came to church. Doesn't mean that I am okay with God, that I'm doing fine. I mean, if I'm in church, that means I'm doing fine. That may be the case in terms of your physical location, but that may not be the case in terms of your soul. And a lot of people confuse things, saying, well, church attendance, meaning I have access to heaven. That is not the case. Matter of fact, the question you must ask yourself because of what we see today, what we're living today, were your last day on earth. Would you open your eyes in heaven or in hell? No one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about the subject. Yet Jesus is the one who talks about it the most. He talks about eternal life constantly. Because when you die, you don't remain on the ground. Your spirit goes one way or the other. Our desire and God's desire that you go to heaven and be with him. But a lot of people make assumptions of what gets people into heaven. Some people say, Pastor, people that are good go to heaven. The problem is there are no verses, no scriptures whatsoever that said that people good on the condition of their own goodness, social goodness, spiritual goodness, goodness that they display will get into heaven. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be good. You should do good things. But if you can earn your salvation, then why would God send his only son to die on a cross for you, a horrific death? He did it because we need him. We need him. You cannot earn it. You cannot read enough Bible verses or attend enough church services to earn your way into heaven. You got to do one thing, and Jesus talks about it. He says you got to believe and you got to acknowledge. And it all begins with believing. It all begins with saying, Jesus, you are the Savior. Jesus, you are what I need today for my soul. And begins with an acknowledgement. In a moment, this is how we do it in our church. I count to 3, you hear me clap my hands, and then you raise your hand right where you're at saying, Pastor, that's me. I know God is speaking to me. I need to give my heart and my life to Christ. I want him to lead me from this day forward. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I gotta trust God. I've been doing life my way and it's not working out. Then you gotta do it God's way. And by acknowledging, you're saying bravely, God, I'm not embarrassed. I need you today. Because why? Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, if you say, that's me, I will acknowledge you before my Father. That's what he wrote, those are his words. But if you deny me, if you say, I'm not doing that and I don't care, Jesus says, not me, Jesus says, I will deny you. He doesn't want to deny you. He already went to the cross and died. What he doesn't want, listen, he doesn't want people to play the religious game. oh, God, I'm here, check, I'll see you on Christmas, right? Or here I am. No, 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 he wants you to be all in for him. And he says something so powerful. He says, I want you to do something. I want you to go after the one. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm going after the one. If that's you, if that's you, if that's you, then it's your night to say, God, I am in need of you. I want to acknowledge that I need you today. And when you raise your hand, I'll see your hand, you put it right back down, then I'm going to invite you so we can all pray together. And this prayer is a verbal confession that you are inviting Christ to be the leader of your life from this day forward. That's where it begins. That's the beginning of the road. And so tonight, that will be your night. I count to three, you raise your hand and we pray together. Who should raise your hand? If you've never done this, if you've never done this prayer, tonight is your night. How about this one? If you did the prayer, Pastor, I prayed one time, a long time ago, but your life did not follow what you said, then tonight is your night to change the direction of your life. How about this? You know, while you're sitting there or even from your home, God is speaking to you. Don't put him aside, but listen to what he's saying. You may be saying, Pastor, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. Raise my hand, pray, walk there. No, man, I don't want to do that. Listen, 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 listen. Don't let the enemy fool you, saying a moment of embarrassment, a possible moment, because you're not going to be embarrassed. We're all going to clap for you and cheer you on. A possible moment of embarrassment is greater in exchange than eternity in heaven. That's a full exchange, and that's what the enemy's telling you. Don't listen to that. Listen to what the Spirit's leading you today. I count to three, you raise your hand, and we pray together. Ready? Ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone tonight? This is your moment. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. They've pointed me over here. Wave at me if I don't see you. Really big. Well, I see you. God bless you. Yes. Beautiful. I see three hands around there. Anyone else, this is your moment. It's your moment of salvation. So crucial. Thank you. God bless you. I see you there. You raise your hand or scratching your hand. Either way, we're going to receive you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, I see you there. God bless you. Awesome. Oh, God is so good. There's some four or five hands. This is your moment. God bless you. I see you there. Good call. Good call. Thank you, Lord. So beautiful. This is between you and God, but you're saying, God, in my heart, I believe tonight is my night to change the direction of my life. To receive the greatest encouragement you can receive, salvation. This is your moment. This is your moment of salvation. 30 more seconds. I just feel to wait for you. Some of you guys are like, yeah, go for it. Go for it. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. We're going after the one, and it begins with one, and you might be it. Tonight is your night. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is your moment of salvation. I'll ask one more time. Wave, if that's you, let me know. Pastor, that's me. That's me. It's my time. It's my time. It's my moment. God's speaking to me. Perfect. Can we give God a praise for those five, six hands I saw around there? That's awesome. Man, so good. Here's what we're going to do. It's a moment of boldness. We all want to pray together. I'm going to invite some faithful friends in a moment that are going to connect with you and pray with you. But because we want to do that together, we're all going to stand. When we're all standing, bring everything you have on your chair. Bring a friend and meet us right here. We're going to pray together tonight. Just get out of your seat. Even if you didn't raise your hand, if you didn't raise your hand, you say, you know what? I'm heading your way. I'm ready to receive Christ. Come on, can we encourage them tonight? Let them know. Just get out of your seat. Just get out of your seat. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you know God's speaking to you, this is your moment. This is your moment. God is drawing you near. God is drawing you near. Said, I'm coming your way, Lord. I need you. God bless you. God bless you, young lady. This is your moment of salvation. Even if you didn't raise your hand, it's okay. It's okay. Let a friend know. Elbow, hey, are you ready? I'll pray with you. God bless you, young man. Thank you, Lord. This is your moment of salvation. God bless you, young lady. Absolutely. God is so good. This is your moment of salvation. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you know this is your moment of salvation, let them know. Thank you, Father. Good job, guys. Good job. This is your time. This is your moment. This is so crucial. God is so good. God is at work in your life. And you didn't come here tonight because somebody forced you. You came because you believe God spoke to you. And this is so important. You have a faithful friend next to you. You have a faithful friend next to you. You guys are walking this, and this is awesome. But if you're still in your seat and you know God's speaking to you, I'm going to bold invite you and say, don't put him off. Don't put him off. Don't say, God, I'll do it my way. Do it His way and let Him work in you. It takes a lot of boldness to do this, but He's at work in your soul. So I want to invite you. Well, I'm getting ready to pray, but I'm going to invite you. Just come out of your seat. Just come out of your seat and say, man, I'm in need of God. I'm in need of God. God bless you, man. This boldness. It's a bold step. Good job. God's at work. God's at work. God is at work. Thank you, Lord. In a moment, we're all going to pray together. And this prayer is not magical. It's not a magic abracadabra. If you miss a word, God is looking at the intention of your heart. And so as we repeat this prayer, just let Him know, God, I mean it this time. I'm ready to walk with You. Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Father God, I'm inviting You tonight to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me and He came back to life to lead me to eternal life. So today, I repent of my sin, the wrongdoings I've committed against You, but fill me today with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Come on, awesome, good job. Here's what we're gonna do in a moment. Pastor Joel, one of our pastors, he wants to spend 5 minutes with you. He's going to walk you and just bring some friends that are going to pray with you, get some information so you can start this walk in encouragement. That's all we want to do. We want to encourage you to continue this walk. Today is day one of many years in God. So follow him right there. He'll get you that information. Then you come right back out with your family. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Good job. Come on, give God a praise. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. God is so good. Remember, pray. Worship, find a friend, carry focus, but don't wallow in your sadness. Push past through. God is up to something good. The enemy wants to discourage you in every way when God is saying, I got this. I have a plan. I'm going to execute my plan in your life until your last day. God is at work. I just believe that. I don't know when it's my last day, but He's going to be at work until it's my last day. Amen. Can I pray for you tonight? Would you raise your hand right where you're at? Father God, thank You. These are Your children, and I bless them today from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. May they be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed going and blessed coming, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper. And we say with faith about our Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.